Newsia's 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and it is that time of week where we bring you Cinema Chat. Now, Russ Collins is my co-host usually. He is the executive director of the Michigan and State Theaters, but Russ is away for one more version of Cinema Chat. So, the Michael Jewett adventure continues. He serves as fill-in host, and good to have you here again, my friend.
Adventures in Movies.
With Michael Jewett.
That's where we're at. The Adventures in Movie Part 3. We all know that
that's right.
We all know that it's the third one that's usually the least impressive. So
well,
of the films of the trilogy. So hopefully we won't go that route.
We shall see. But I tell you what is impressive: a movie that you kind of clued me into that is coming up is called The Joker,
or just Joker. I think it's just Joker.
And that movie got an 8-minute standing ovation at the Venice Film Festival premiere.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. I don't think I've ever clapped at a movie, let alone given a standing ovation.
Yeah, I think Venice crowds, I think, are very appreciative of films that will take risks and whatnot. It's in competition, technically. Venice is a film festival along those lines. Director Todd Phillips and a new take on the story of one of the most iconic villains ever conceived in comic book form. So this is a new, another comic film, which is getting, I think the last time I checked Rotten Tomatoes, it's gotten a very good aggregate score. We're not quite 90%, but, mid-upper 80s.
That's still pretty good.
Mostly very positive reviews, but it's also gotten some criticisms that maybe this take on that sometimes the Joker is played for laughs and whatnot.
It's been camp before, certainly, in the television Batman series.
Yeah, but other times, and actually quite often in modern era, he's very dark, very edgy. Pathological, sociopathic type of a villain, and maybe the
And that sounds right up Joaquin Phoenix's alley.
Yeah, and a lot of praise. Some are saying, hey, polish up the Oscar for Joaquin Phoenix and everything. So we'll see. But there have been some pretty pointed, negative reviews, but reviews that took exception to the way a character with this kind of capacity for violence is portrayed. And I think that's where some of the criticism. So this is either a film that
through his acting, creates some empathy.
Most people came to, but do we really want to have empathy for someone like that? And I think that's the question. So this is a film that people are going to take in different ways. We'll see. Originally, it was on kind of like my might-see list. I'm not a big fan of Joker. It's kind of like...
I don't care about these things.
Yeah,
and I absolutely must see it.
Yeah, but this is like, so I'm definitely leaning towards seeing this and seeing what this is about. Because, big raves about it, and it's playing more toward the art house.
Right.
It's playing at Toronto International, at TIFF, it's at Venice. This isn't what, the latest, isn't where Shazam and other comic book films were. So we'll see.
It's going to open nationwide here in America on October 4th, so we can look forward to that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I did want to mention one other thing, something on the horizon for jazz fans. The L.A. debut screening of the new Miles Davis film, Birth of the Cool, documentary about Miles Davis from filmmaker Stanley Nelson. People are just saying he nailed it. He got it. So I haven't heard anything. If you're any kind of a Miles Davis, any kind of a jazz fan, definitely put that on your checklist of things to come out. I'm still waiting on the official release date of when they ticket to wider release. Hopefully we'll get some screenings
in our area. And I can say with some certainty that it will make it to our area and show it the Michigan or the state.
Yeah, so, quality documentary about Miles Davis, that's my must-see as soon as it hits the theater. So
now, are you a fan of theater, like Broadway theater?
My wife is a bigger fan than I, but the film you're talking about struck a chord with me because this was hugely popular. I remember, anytime mention Fiddler of the Roof, I immediately start singing If I Were a Rich Man, going to my own version of that. So yeah.
Well, that has become our mantra, hasn't it?
Yeah. So yes, and I've seen it twice. In local theaters.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's been on Broadway. It's been turned into movies. Well, now there's kind of a look behind the scenes. It's called Fiddler, a Miracle of Miracles. Now, this is opening tonight at the Michigan Theater. It includes archival footage, interviews with musical luminaries who kind of dive in and take a look at the legacy of the long-running and award-winning musical Fiddler on the Roof. And, of course, that opened on Broadway the year I was born, in 1964. So it's been around, and
it's really a magical
it's durable.
Piece. And I think, you know, digging deep into, you know, some of the things kind of not just behind the scenes but below the surface about the film and its impact culturally. It sounds like a fabulous film. Fiddler, A Miracle of Miracles. I love that title, too.
Exactly right. I'm looking forward to that. You are listening to Cinema Chat on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. David Fair alongside Michael Jewett. He is week three of the
in movies.
Michael Jewett Adventure. That's exactly right. Now, are you a fan of Stephen King?
I respect Stephen King, you know, and I'm just going to state for the record, I am a big chicken when it comes to certain horror movies. If, you know, I'm sorry, there's a clown in this. He's going to jump out of the sewer at me. I'm just, yes. And I know people, I love and respect a lot of film goers that this is, because this is like one of the most,
I think the first.
Biggest box office for a horror film.
Yeah.
So
what we're talking about is It Chapter 2.
It Chapter 2. So go see it, because
absolutely.
It's It Chapter 2, and it's got
now,
the clown. So yeah.
Here's the thing. I've always been a Stephen King fan. I always liked reading his books. And fact of the matter is, I found for the most part that movies did not translate well. If you had read the book first,
yes,
they were
okay.
So long and so detailed that so much had to be removed
yeah.
that you kind of lost a sense of it. But the It movie that was the first one, that was pretty good, and I understand this one may be even better.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Pennywise returns.
Okay.
So that would be fun.
It's going to come out and get me. So
here's a movie that I think, I know you weren't a huge fan of the California sound, but I'm so fascinated with this person as a musician, as a singer, and as a human being growing up in the 60s. David Crosby, Remember My Name. Now, that is opening up Friday night. That's tomorrow night, September 6th at the State Theater. And I'm very interested in seeing this. Do you have any interest whatsoever?
Well, yeah. In fact, actually, you know what? I never owned the Crosby, Stills, and Nash records, but I did own I never owned the originals, but I own later stuff in his career. David Crosby, very outspoken about his life, music, fame, struggles, personal struggles. This sounds actually very compelling.
Yeah,
David Crosby.
He admits that he is the antagonist in almost all of his relationships, and
It
has manifested itself in that way throughout the week. So that's good. Again, that opens up David Crosby, Remember My Name, Friday, September 6th at the State Theater. A couple of special screenings, or one anyway, Big Lebowski, that's going to be playing Saturday, September 7th at 10 p.m.
The Dude Abides. Yeah.
That's right, The Dude Abides. You can't go wrong with that.
That's it.
And there's a couple of movies that continue downtown if you haven't picked them up, After the Wedding with
Which
Michelle
I've
Williams
heard good
and Julianne Moore.
Well, a friend said that this was actually really, really compelling.
Yeah.
So mixed positive reviews, but some personal recommendations, too.
And another one that was on your must-see list, One Child Nation. Did you ever get there?
No, it's this little thing called the Jazz Festival.
kind of held you up, huh?
Yeah. I'm headed into the time of the year, though, where there's going to be so many movies with award season coming up. I'm going to see more movies in the last three, four months, than I saw in the first 8 months. Like twice as many movies. I'll see like 2-3 movies a month. So, yeah.
Yeah, looking
Which
forward to it.
It's a great time of the year.
It is the time of the year.
Yeah.
Where'd You Go, Bernadette? It was based on the runaway best-selling book, an inspiring comedy about Bernadette Fox, played by Cate Blanchett. If you haven't seen that, that comes highly recommended as well. And one that you saw and did love, called Loose.
It was on my might-see list, and the more I read about it, and the more I looked at trailers and whatnot, and I took a chance on it. A directorial breakthrough for Julius Ona, Naomi Watts, Tim Roth, Octavia Spencer, and newcomer Kelvin Harrison Jr. in a breakthrough performance. I mean, this is a really compelling and thought-provoking and maybe even disturbing film. It hits you on a lot of different levels. I saw it a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still processing.
And you said you might have to go back and see it again and peel back some more of those layers.
This is a movie that I would actually see twice in a theater, and I would definitely add to my physical collection. I thought it was that compelling. And it was one of those movies that was on my maybe yes, maybe no list, and I'm just really, really grateful that I did see it. So.
Now, another one, if you're a fan of Bruce Springsteen, I am late to the Bruce Springsteen party. Nonetheless, I am interested in seeing Blinded by the Light, where basically a soundtrack provided by Bruce Springsteen kind of drives this young man's life and informs the way he goes through his, coming-of-age story.
Yeah, it's a mix of kind of like that fan obsession, but also there's a parallel narrative going on here. It sounds pretty compelling. Blinding by the Light.
Exactly right. Now, Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that is still playing if you would like to see it. Haven't seen it yet. And I have to tell you, it is one of the movies that I went and saw, and I really love it. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes
and
long.
And I forget where you sit on the Tarantino scale. Are you like a nut? I have to see everything?
No, the man? No, but I really do respect him as a filmmaker. Okay. I like the movies he does. You know, sometimes the violence is a little over the top for me, and you can go that way. I did not necessarily love the Kill Bill movies, but everything else that he's done, I mean, I do consider him a Hall of Fame filmmaker.
It's kind of weird, but it's like there's like certain things that I love by him and then certain things that I'm kind of iffy on that. I have yet to see it because I haven't found the time, but I know it's got some legs.
It does, and it's got an ending I did not expect at all. I won't spoil it for you, but it's not what you think is going to happen.
I like his take that, you know, his films are their own kind of like history and universe. I appreciate that he's going to do that. So very cool.
And he did, and did it exceedingly well. And one I have not seen called The Farewell, a Cinetopia 2019 Audience Award winner. You want to catch that because it is going to go away soon.
Yeah, the great reviews on that one. Awkwafina in the lead role. So
well, exactly right. Well, Michael, thank you for filling in for Russ Collins over the past 3 weeks. Yeah. I've enjoyed every second.
Adventures.
It's now your permanent job. Fill in.
Adventures in Movies. And part three. And stay tuned for the return of Russ Collins.
That's
heroic. He's rising over the hill like Gandalf or something.
Exactly right. He'll be here for the pledge drive, and we hope you will as well. For Michael Jewett, I'm David Fair, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Cinema Chat on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.